talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brain Stew Wrestling.
And here we are, another week. Another decent Raw in a row. Here we are, Brain Stew Wrestling. Got myself, Punchy, along with Hammy, and our guest this week, Kevin Garifo of the Shining Wizards podcast, the New Jersey comedy scene in every single West Orange, New Jersey bar crawl.
Yeah, you nailed it. That was everything was accurate about that. The latter was the best part. That was the most accurate.
I'm pretty sure I've hosted a show and brought you up with just that line,
which makes sense. And that's my biggest claim to fame is that I run the city that I love. Yeah. And, well, the bars in the city that I love anyway.
He's like made a living of just bartending every single place in West Orange. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you guys for having me very much. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to have you. You can listen to the Shining Wizards, if memory serves, every Tuesday night from 7 to 9?
7 to 9, if you, like, give or take. It's usually like an hour, 40 minutes we go, depends on the vibe.
But you start at 7.
Yeah, 7.
Tuesday
boom,
night, 7 o'clock, ShiningWizards.com. Check them out. I actually listened to your most recent episode on the way back here, and you guys did exactly what we did, open up with Big Balls for Balls Mahoney. I'm like, oh, yeah. Great, every show ever did this,
well,
didn't
I mean,
they?
He died.
Every wrestling
show. It's
going
to happen.
Well, a lot of people knew Balls, so it was a tough one to take, and he was a great guy. He was always fun to be around. Yep. Everyone has a Ball story, whether you're a fan and you just met him, or you're a worker, or you were a guy like me who got lucky enough to spend a few months with him, and it was just cool, so we had to do it. I mean, whatever, you know.
But when I listen to Shining Wizards, I mean, you guys are like really R-rated as far as like jokes, content, and it's very different from your typical wrestling show, and I loved what I heard, man. I'm gonna listen every week now. You listen to the Shining Wizards every Tuesday starting at 7 on ShiningWizards.com, and you guys podcast it almost immediately when you're done broadcasting. You just download their show. It's very good. So what we do with every guest that comes in here is just get to know them. Kevin, what got you into wrestling? What is like one moment that stood out where you were like, oh my God, I'm a fan of this now. And what are some of your favorite moments?
It was completely unexpected. I think my neighbor, when I was like 5, and I'm 32 now. So when I was 5, like, my neighbor just had like these action figures, the LJNs, the old LJN rubber. And he had them, and he just told me about wrestling. And the earliest memory I have of wrestling is obviously probably Superstars. Like, I think it was noon, or maybe it could have been, I think it was like noon on Fox on a Saturday. And it was like the Honky Tonk Man. And that was it. And then I watched, my first memory of a wrestling match was a Honky Tonk Man versus a jobber match. So that got me into it. I was hooked ever since. Every era you could possibly imagine. I think the first pay-per-view I watched was WrestleMania 6, which was 1990.
Yeah.
So it was my dad's birthday. We had a bunch of our buddies over, group party for the pay-per-view, and hooked ever since through every single era. Well, every one of my friends grew out of it. I stuck with it, and it's still something that I love very, very much to this day.
He's been more dedicated to it than we were.
I think so.
Because they're like, even like, during the early Cena era, where a lot of people were just like, all right, F this, I'm going to UFC.
And the Ruthless Aggression era, I believe it was called, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, but
yeah.
It's something, again, when something's your passion, and whether or not it's your passion, whether you want to pursue it as a career, or whether you just really, really enjoy watching it, it's like, I never got out of it. To me, it always just brings me back, and it's something that, again, that I love and I'll probably love till the day I die. So
there's been a couple of spurts where I was just like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, what got me really hooked was when I saw The Undertaker come up from the bottom of the ring and pull Bret Hart underneath the ring. That was the first moment that I remember that I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then I started seeing promos of Taker. I'm like, this guy's kind of scary. Growing up, I was maybe like 5-6 years old when I started watching Taker promos. And I was like, and the guy gave me nightmares at first. So I've been hooked ever since because of that. I grew up liking Hulk Hogan. I mean, who didn't like Hulk Hogan growing up? And there were a couple spots where I was like, roughly around like 2003 to 2009, 2010, I was like, I'll watch WrestleMania. I'd never miss a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But in general, I was just like, not really into it anymore. And then I think what a lot of people are saying that what got him really back into wrestling was CM Punk with that infamous pipe bomb.
Okay.
When he said that pipe bomb, I was like, all right, I'm hooked again, and I've been watching since then. Punchy, what about you?
I'm very similar. The pipe bomb brought me back into it. Although there's one of my favorite like memories of the recent time before that pipe bomb was from the Ruthless Aggression era, Edge's cash in of Money in the Bank at the New Year's pay per view, where Cena had just won the Elimination Chamber match to keep the title, and then Edge comes in and cashes. It was fantastic.
The unexpectedness of the Money in the Bank, loved it.
And CM Punk's pipe bomb. And that whole build to that match, because the pipe bomb is legendary, but even the build to that match, like the segment with him and Vince, the contract negotiation segment.
You will apologize.
Yeah. Wow, you guys remember more than I do. I don't remember. I just remember Kevin Nash coming back, and that's all I remember about that whole story.
And making him, or Kevin Nash trying to make the joke of him looking like a Waffle House Shack cook.
Yeah, that whole thing with Nash coming back, and of course it started with the dude when Cult of Personality came on, and you're just what could that possibly be?
And then Punk come out like, oh my god, yes,
yeah, we forgot he was still there, kind of.
Just like what happened with AJ Styles at the Rumble. When it was number three, I'm like, all of us kind of knew that Styles was going to be in the Rumble. We just didn't expect it to be number three. And then when the music hit, you saw the weird, confused look on Reigns.
You knew.
Then the big pop. I'm like, oh, shit, here he comes.
Once it was the music, I didn't recognize. Like, once it was, like, it started, like, little gospel, I'm like, that's somebody that we haven't seen before.
Right.
And then the only possible person was AJ Styles.
That reaction to him debuting was fantastic.
One of the biggest pops I ever heard from a wrestling show.
You know what I do, like, every now and then, and more now than then, is just watch, like, returns on YouTube and stuff like that. Like, Chris Jericho, like, debut or return.
Oh, a lot of people do like that.
There's, like, video compilations of Royal Rumble surprises, and I'll just, like, go out of my way, like, every day just to watch, like, those. And those are the moments that, like, make you remember why you're a fan, the unexpected. And it's so few and far between nowadays that when you get a great surprise, you just want to cherish it and you want to watch it every single day. So,
a great genuine surprise. Unlike nothing like that happened at WrestleMania this year. Very predictable show.
Kevin Owens losing was a surprise.
I know WrestleMania was a few weeks ago, but what were your thoughts on WrestleMania? You guys must have really taken a big, giant, Reigns-filled dump on this show.
Yeah, I mean, we try to be as fair as we possibly can to the product. Like, we will rip it when it deserves to be ripped, but we will also credit it when it deserves to be credited. But for the most part, WrestleMania, I'd say it was a B-, C-plus show. It wasn't, the matches were good. Like, the ladder match was great. I thought Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar should have been a lot more.
Yeah.
The finish to, obviously no one wanted to see Roman Reigns walk out. So whatever, that is what it is. Like, but, I actually did predict the Zack Ryder win on the episode prior to the Shining Wizards prior to WrestleMania. I predicted Zack Ryder would win that
match.
What
was weird was someone made a point about that match where, like, they do the betting odds for WWE, and, like, for a while, Zack Ryder was, like, a plus 2,000 underdog, and then it went, like, the weekend of went into, like, minus 350, which meant he was, like, favored a lot more in that span.
Minus 350 means you'd have to bet, like, what? Like, 100?
You'd have to bet 350 to win
100. Yeah.
Whereas when he was plus 2,000, it was bet 100 to win 2,000.
Well, from what I heard, he was supposed to... The only reason why he won was because Neville got hurt, but I can't...
Yeah,
but
I've heard that too.
Yeah. But overall, Mania was... It was, like I said, it was a C-plus show. Nothing crazy, but...
I agree with that.
It did the job.
What upset me was the only true shocking moment of the night came, like, oh wow, Zack Ryder won?
Yeah, and
that was the only
first,
shocking moment.
It was like literally the first moment or one of the first moments of the show.
Like, Shane Taker, we knew some crazy thing was about to happen. And as soon as Shane looked up at the cell, I'm like, oh my god, that maniac is jumping off the cell. Which, by the way, Shane's what, like, in his mid to late 40s? And he's jumping off 30-foot cages into a table, regardless if the table is cushioned or not.
Right.
Shane McMahon has more balls than I think anybody in that locker room has. No one would do that these days. And I said on our show afterward, Mike, You will never see a bump like that possibly ever again in WWE.
Because Shane McMahon's a lunatic millionaire.
Yeah, it's sad that Dean Ambrose's gimmick is a lunatic and Shane McMahon is a real lunatic.
Yeah.
Because look at, for those of you who just started getting into wrestling, look up Shane McMahon versus The Big Show and Shane McMahon versus Steve Blackman, I think, at SummerSlam.
Yep.
Two jumps off the Titantron are some of the things that you watch and you're like, oh my God, all of a sudden Mick Foley being thrown off the top of the cell is like PG compared to this. Shane McMahon has taken some extraordinary jumps throughout his career, and nothing but cheers for him at WrestleMania. So Mike told me before the show started that you have a few stories with pro wrestlers out there that he encouraged me to ask to bring up to you.
Well, most of all, like, there's wrestlers that he knows, like, that, like, there's people who are either on the main roster now or in their system or were in their system for a while. Like, for example, Apollo Crews or UHA Nation.
Yeah, who I feel so terrible. When we had him on our show, and I've never admitted this to anyone, you can listen to the show, it's out there. But we
called at ShiningWizards.com.
Yeah, absolutely. We knew it was UHA. Like, I knew it was UHA. I knew that was his name. But for some reason, when we did the interview with him, we kept referring to him as UHA Nation. and we didn't pick up on it until, I think, Shining Wizards Eddie called us out on it. You idiots kept calling him UHA. And said, but we knew it was UHA. We were just so dumb at the time. And we met him at a Dragon Gate, I think. I'm not sure if it was a Dragon Gate or Evolve, but, you know, still, yeah, under the same umbrella. And he had his shirt. We had sent him a shirt, and he had it with him when we went to the show. And said, I just happened to have the shirt. So he took the picture with us with the shirt. Great guy. I wish he made a bigger splash with his main roster debut.
I think they just didn't give me enough time in NXT.
Well, that I agree with that too. But if they were going to bring him up to the main roster, he doesn't have. And I'm getting off on a tangent, obviously, but he doesn't have a character. He doesn't have a reason for anyone to invest in him yet. And again, it's only week two, week three.
Yeah,
but
it's early.
But anyway, again, not to get into booking because I don't. Whatever.
Oh, we could totally get into the booking.
Oh, no, we will. I'm sure we will.
Yeah, but, at one point we will.
Because he's a great guy, one of the nicest, genuinely nicest guy you'll ever meet in your life, and I'm very happy that he made the main roster, because that's the end goal.
I'm kind of happy you brought up mispronouncing names. One day, I was interviewing Mick Foley on another show that I used to co-host, and I tried to say Barbara Walters, but I accidentally said Baba Wabwa, and apparently that was a joke on Saturday Night Live that I had no idea was an actual joke. So he laughed and played along with the Saturday Night Live bit by accident, and he threw me a line from an SNL skit, and I was like, oh, Mick, what the hell are you talking about? Like, so I crashed and burned with that interview there.
It sounded like the way you said, like, how did you say
I
it?
Literally said Barbara Walters as Baba Wawa.
So, like, that actually sounds like Barbara Walters doing an impersonation of Barbara Walters. That's like, hi, I'm Baba Wawa. That's what that sounds like.
I said, apparently that was an SNL bit, and I don't watch that SNL anymore. So I thought that, okay, I guess he was laughing at my stupidity, but no, he was actually going along with an SNL skit. Oh, boy, and that was even worse. So anyway, let's get into our top five news stories, and we'll start off right off the bat with something that actually doesn't have to do with pro wrestling at all. Conor McGregor retires from the UFC. Whether you think he's just trolling the audience, whether you think it's a plot to get more money out of Dana White in the UFC, or is he just afraid to face Nate Diaz at UFC 200? Regardless,
I don't think it's the last one. I just think it's money.
And it most likely is money. But Conor McGregor posted a tweet yesterday saying that he is retiring from the UFC, and it's been retweeted like 140,000 times now, and it went viral immediately. Does WWE have a possible cash cow with this? Do you think he might be able to go to WWE? If this is legit and he's done with MMA, because remember, if you don't watch MMA or UFC a lot, one of his teammates in Ireland last week died via injuries of being in the octagon, and he watched one of his teammates die. So this could be another reason why he's retiring. He wants to go out young. He already made his millions. He doesn't need to work another day in his life. And he's just saying, you know what? Screw MMA. Or, like you said, Mike, it could be a ploy to get
more
money from Dana White. But regardless, WWE, could he possibly be heading there? Becky Lynch actually tweeted him, because a fellow Irish person, saying, come join me.
I mean, listen, yes, MMA is actually like fighting, and WWE is like sports entertainment, where it's like, you know. But the thing is, though, it'd probably be harder on his body switching to WWE. And, yeah, with more so because of the schedule.
Well, when you're a Conor McGregor and you're already a made name,
yeah, they'll probably
WWE would accommodate him to what he wants if that would mean that he would appear in WWE.
That's also a good point.
And I can't speak, obviously, factually, obviously, because I don't know, but just based on what you've seen with part-time guys that have just been in WWE, if you're a mainstream guy and you're a mainstream name, I think, my opinion only, that they would do whatever they could possibly do to get him in WWE.
Yeah, they would bend over backwards, and then there'd be a lot of people in the back who would resent that.
I think he would team with Sheamus, though. I think, and they would probably shave his head and give him a mohawk and dye.
I would hope if McGregor does Sheamus come to WWE, he just knocks out Sheamus, because Sheamus is an embarrassment to Irish people.
Well, what if they gave him a purple mohawk, and then him and Sheamus could be like the male version of Sasha and Becky Lynch? I think that's the angle that WWE is working right now.
Well, anyway, here's a little bit. Here's a news clip of WWE talking about the Conor McGregor situation. I like this new video series on WWE's YouTube channel. It's kind of like the TMZ of what's going on with WWE. So here we go.
Conor McGregor unexpectedly retired Tuesday. He's only 27, so that had us wondering what is next for him. Well, Becky Lynch invited her fellow Irish brawler to join her in WWE. As if that wasn't enough to get us excited, McGregor's coach John Kavanaugh suggested posting a pic.
All right, that's kind of clever.
That's pretty awesome. So the coach, John Kavanaugh, put a picture of Jimmy Hart, for those who are listening on
the audio
podcast
only. And not to mention, after McGregor put out his retirement tweet, Nate Diaz came out and said, well, my work is done. I guess I'm retiring too. And everyone now is going along with making fun of Conor for retiring. So, again,
To be fair, though, that's because the Diaz brothers can't go like 5 months or through one fight prep without failing a drug test. So, holy crap. They're like the Josh Gordon to mixed martial arts.
God, what about Josh Gordon? It's not a sport. It's not a sports show.
Number four story of the week. Bret Hart says UFC does pro wrestling better than wrestling.
I get it, but I don't agree with it.
Bret Hart was recently interviewed by Flow Combat and was asked about the similarities between pro wrestling and MMA. Here's what Hart had to say. Quote, I'll say it now. UFC does better pro wrestling than pro wrestling. The promos, the whole John Bones Jones and Daniel Cormier sitting in a chair, that's the gripping television that pro wrestling used to deliver. Guys, do you agree or disagree with that statement?
A little bit, but I like Jim Cornette's comparison better.
What did Cornette say?
Jim Cornette compared UFC to old school wrestling, like back in the 70s, like that era, which that makes a lot more sense. Back before, like, the curtain was just pulled away by Vince McMahon and the Click.
Well, here's what I say to that in terms of, yes, UFC is basically WWE with entrances, with stories. However, with UFC, it's the same story every time. It's a weigh-in. It's a face-off. It's punches, and then nothing happens till the actual match. It's that.
Well,
I don't know enough about UFC to completely say this with confidence, but every time I see UFC on ESPN or making headlines, it's a weigh-in. It's a showdown. It's a face-off. It's two guys like jawing at each other, and then they break it, and then it's a pull-apart. It's the same thing. Well, so, like, it's not a totally fair comparison with pro wrestling.
Let's be honest, though, Kevin. It depends on the wrestler we're talking about here in the story.
Well, not there. All right. That's fair. But
I'm the guy.
Well, I Listen, UFC is better than anything Roman Reigns has ever done. So there's that.
I feel like now Roman Reigns' promos since winning at WrestleMania are like the promo writing equivalent of the Brock Lesnar Suplex City shirts. The only thing that changes is the city.
That's not a bad analogy.
Cool. The difference is, I had to get one in. I'm sorry. I had to get one in.
The difference is people actually like Brock Lesnar shirts.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And would actually like a Brock Lesnar promo without Heyman.
Speaking of shirts, though.
Oh, yeah. Kevin decided to grace us with our own Shining Wizard shirts. Let me get in front of a microphone to sound professional here for a second. I like the pink font. I like that a lot. Unfortunately, in case you couldn't see on camera, I'm not a 2XL. I'm size fat, so
no.
This will be a...
You're svelte.
Thank you. This will be a goal shirt. The minute I can wear this, I will take a photo in it, tweet it to all of you guys, saying, "Hey, I kind of lost more weight." So,
see, this is what the
thank you for the shirt.
This is what the Shining Wizards do. We create dreams for people. That's what we do. I want you to reach your goal. That's what we do. ShiningWizards.com, www.swlive.net. Sorry.
I was going to do the cheap plug promo, but thank you. We are joined in studio by Kevin Garifo, host of the Shining Wizards podcast. Wrestling podcasts are, there are many of them.
Yes.
Very few of them are actually good. Shining Wizards is one of them. So check them out. Episode in, and I was hooked. So I'm going to go back and listen to all of your wrestling, all of your previous episodes.
I'm
pretty hooked, man.
I really, really, really do appreciate that. And last night's show was kind of an enigma of a show. No, because when we have fun with ourselves, that's when we are just at our best. Like, we bust balls. We're not, like you said, we're not PG at all. We're not even third hour of Raw. So and we just literally, we went off the rails a little bit last night, but we had some fun, and some people may not always like it, but we always kid. It's all in jest, whatever we say.
I love
so
it.
So you were hour two it. Of Raw last night.
Yes, we were the ratings boom, and then it dropped once we, how did the ratings, I'm sure you're going to get to that at some point, right? Raw?
Oh yeah, we're going
to get into our Raw recap next segment, but number
I was going to say too, since we're talking about shirts, did you guys see the graphic of the top 10 WWE shirt sales, like selling shirts?
No.
Cuz for those who don't know and those who don't know why this is being brought up, WWE gauges the popularity of wrestlers by how their shirts sell. The number one selling shirt in the last week was Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
Number 2 and 3 was New Day.
Rightfully so.
The Bootio shirt and then the Bootio shirt with the box.
The combo? Okay.
4 and 5 were Shane McMahon and AJ Styles.
Shane McMahon, that surprises me a little bit.
And then like in the bottom half of the top 10 was like Bayley, Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens. Who were the two other ones? There were two other ones, but they were like, I think Brock Lesnar and one other, but they were like popular with the like internet crowd.
What does that say for all the full timers there that Brock Lesnar, a part timer, sells more shirts than
he's
you
an
do?
Attraction. It's like bringing out like a Godzilla or King Kong movie.
It also doesn't help that every time Brock Lesnar shows up on TV or any one of these part timers come back, they get like 3 new shirts.
Yeah.
The guys that are regulars on the roster get their shirts released like whatever once every, I don't know how many months.
Well, it depends on the wrestler too.
Guys like Kevin Owens and AJ Styles and those. It's a testament to Kevin Owens that when he showed up first in NXT, it sold out
immediately,
and he's still in the top 10 after all this time. That's a testament to Kevin Owens and what the crowd really does want to see.
Kevin Owens, it looks like a black and white version of the John Cena page on WWE Shop. He's got that many shirts.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And
he's got a mug. Yeah, he's got a mug, a workout bag, and a hat.
Dude, that hoodie is dope.
Yeah, it is. I kind of want. Yeah, that looks.
Yeah. Anyway,
so
we
number.
Got distracted.
Yeah, it's fine.
Sorry about
number
that.
Number 3 story. Teddy Hart, quote: "Does Triple H have the balls to put me in NXT?"
And I'm glad Kevin's here for this one.
No, you're not. Go ahead.
No, I want to hear your opinion first.
Well, let me read the quote. I would love to see Stephanie McMahon and Triple H man up one time and say we give you another chance. Not to be under WWE contract, but to do some matches on NXT so people can watch me and I can make their guys look great. Does Triple H have the balls to put Teddy Hart on NXT? That's the question I ask Triple H. I've never said a bad word about you. I think you're one of the best wrestlers for the last 15 years. If you put Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Teddy Hart in a triple threat match, it would be better than the Chris Benoit match. Sorry, the murderer match, and it would happen right now. Even right now, Triple H is in better shape than he was before, and he's watching NXT all the time, so his mind is getting better for what wrestling really is. Thoughts?
I'll let Kevin go first, because I'm more interested in hearing what he has to say.
No, I mean, I like Teddy. I've never had an issue with Teddy Hart at all. I don't really know him that well. I've met him at a couple of the shows that we do that they do in Rawway. His cat's super fluffy. so that works. I mean, I would love to see Teddy Hart in NXT. I don't think it's going to happen, but
yeah, I think his initial run with WWE system like just left a bad taste in their mouths.
But you never know. I mean, like his cousins are still under. You never say, like,
then again,
the cliche. Yeah. You never say never.
Then so. Again, I'm sure him and Triple H could like swap some bitching about CM Punk stories, so they could bond that way.
I don't know anything about that.
Well, like the,
no, know. I know. I honestly really don't. No, that wasn't even sarcasm.
No, Teddy Hart and CM Punk had a legit like fight after a Ring of Honor show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and CM Punk's just got a great
encounter. Conor McGregor just took his money and ran with it like CM Punk did as well. So,
Punk had to take WWE to court for that merch money.
See, CM Punk took his ball
and went home.
McGregor took his money.
CM Punk took his ball, went home, tried to go to the UFC, and then he's like, ow, my back hurts.
Did you see the meme that people were like putting up? Not a meme, but like people were saying that. Conor McGregor's tweet, and they put it under CM Punk's Twitter. So, like, CM Punk was announcing his retirement from UFC.
UFC.
Unless it was actually his tweet, and it was just making fun of Conor McGregor. I don't know. Do you follow
No,
him?
It legit was Conor McGregor tweeting it.
Okay. All right. There it is.
That's fantastic. Number two story of the week, new Roddy Piper autobiography synopsis has been released. The synopsis for Rowdy, the Roddy Piper story, has been released by Random House. The book is set to be released by the publishing company on October 4th and will be 400 pages. It was originally his autobiography before he passed away, and his children, Ariel and Colt Toombs, finished the book. So we got a new Roddy Piper book coming out.
That's going to be a fascinating read. Roddy Piper has always been one of the more fascinating guys from the 80s.
Easily.
He's like, yeah. Just because... First off, there's all the stories from like the 80s heyday of wrestling, which
I'm sorry.
I queued up the final story. Not to break fourth wall here, but what they can see on my what I pull up on my screen here on this computer here where my camera is, they can see it on a mirrored screen. So I just queued the next story and well, here we go. Number one news story of the week, TNA reportedly out of money, flat broke, and the fans are tweeting photos of Harris Brothers in Nazi shirts.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure these are two stories combined into one, but TNA is reportedly flat out of cash. Dave Meltzer offered another update on TNA's financial situation on Tuesday morning's edition of the Wrestling Observer Radio, saying, quote, "It's really bad. You wouldn't believe how bad it is. When I say they're out of money, they're out of money." So TNA going down the old WCW route.
No, they're going down the a mix of the WCW and the ECW route.
WCW booking, ECW financial.
Well, it's funny. Dixie Carter running TNA, it's like the girl. It's like the daughter who just got cut off from her parents' credit card.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, like
but at least a daughter that got caught off from the credit card could always be like, "Hey, daddy, like I don't know, like can I have some more money?" Like she doesn't seem she wanted this to be her thing, and it's just not working out at all. Or Panda probably could have just completely shut her out.
And she got so defensive when people were ripping the product too. Like I remember she tweeted me when I was bashing TNA.
Oh, Falcon, what'd she say to you?
It was a while ago. It was like around the time AJ Styles actually left the company.
Okay.
So I said something to the fact that, she's like sinking the ship.
Yeah.
And then she's like, how exactly am I sinking the ship? So
look in the mirror.
I responded via Twit Longer because there was that much.
With her wonky eye.
I was like mostly ripping the fact that they let AJ Styles go, and that viewpoint has been vindicated.
Well, I mean, you can tell, like, if they didn't have the money to pay him, obviously they didn't.
Yeah.
And I, like, obviously they don't. But you know what?
Now he's in WWE making, like, shirt bank.
Yeah, that shirt bank is huge.
Yeah.
And making bank by putting in the main event with Roman Reigns. TNA talent has been told this week that that this week's TV tapings in Orlando are still on, and not to believe things on the internet. When the talent are even questioning, are we still employed? You got a problem, TNA. And I really don't want to crap on TNA right here, because if TNA does fold, there's going to be a lot of talent there that has no work anymore, and they got to feed their families. I feel bad for them. But my God, TNA's financial problems have been the talk of the wrestling universe for the past at least 3 to 4 years now.
I'm going to cut you off there, and I'm saying that TNA closing might be the best thing for these guys to feed their family.
Yeah, it might be.
Because they'll get paid.
Yeah, like, they'll get paid.
That is a good point.
They won't be as restricted by where they can work. Like, they can work New Japan, they can work Ring of Honor, they can work CZW, Evolve, Dragon Gate.
We brought this point up on the show last night, where I'm thinking to myself, where what if NXT was where it was now, like 5 years ago, if NXT was as popular as it was now, how many people would still be in TNA? No one.
None of them would. And I'm sure, like, especially, can't wait. I'm hoping Bobby Roode finally, like, signs too.
Yeah, that's a weird story. I don't know what the heck's going on with that.
It's probably one of those, oh no, I'm not signed yet, wink.
Yeah.
It was added that, I'm going to try to pronounce this company's name properly, Aralux.
That's like the Harris Brothers company.
Okay.
Were they involved?
That is the way to pronounce it properly.
I don't know, but right, I know what you meant.
I'm going with it. Aralux is the only company seriously looking at buying TNA, and they're probably funding the next set of TV tapings, even though TNA hasn't paid them for the previous set.
Right.
So Taz went on his show, and Taz has been interviewed several times. He left because they weren't paying him on time properly. Yep. So,
yeah, and he's like, Taz, like, this already happened to me once before in my career. Yeah. What the shit?
TNA has reportedly made presentations to other people to get funding, but haven't gathered any interest. Just go to Kickstarter. Since the news broke...
No, for real. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
just go to Kickstarter. It's probably more reasonable, and you know, you'll save a little more dignity.
Go fund me an A.
All right.
I'm a killer for wordplay. Yeah, pun work. Yeah.
It's good.
Kanye West will do better on GoFundMe than TNA will.
Since the news broke of a possible takeover by Aralux, which Ron and Don Harris are employees of, fans have been tweeting Pop TV executives with pictures of the Harris brothers in a shirt with the Nazi SS Bolt logo on it, in addition to their SS tattoos they got covered up. And, well, let me actually bring up Chrome here so you all can see exactly what I'm talking about.
I feel like they were
probably... I knew they had the tats. I didn't realize that this was a big thing now that they're trying to not have them take over.
Yeah, here we go.
I feel like they were like,
you can even
doing
see
a
on their
skinhead gimmick.
You can even see on their arms where.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure.
And then here we go, the SS logo. Entering the ring.
I never knew that was a Nazi thing. To be honest,
you didn't
with
know the SS was a Nazi thing.
I'm not that smart. Like, I'm really not that bright at all. So I know the swastika is a Nazi thing. I never knew that was a Nazi thing.
Yeah, no, that's like a.
Did I just bring this to an awkward place? I'm sorry.
A little.
No, I just didn't know. I've never heard of that before. Call me crazy.
Well, on that bombshell.
I'm sorry. I just totally.
Very funny, but awkward. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a Raw recap and among other WWE news. Situations going on in the wrestling universe. We are joined in studio by Kevin Garifo, host of the Shining Wizards podcast. Where can they find you on Twitter, Kevin?
At Kevin Garifo at Wizards Podcast. The four of us are all there at Wizard Podcast, so check that out, please.
And he is at Hipster Punchy on Twitter. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. We will be right back right after this. Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR. Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than BrainStew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, BrainStew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, BrainStew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to BrainStewMedia.com today. The best radio on the internet is only one click away at morelikeradio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out morelikeradio.com and subscribe on iTunes.
Talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brains Through Wrestling.
All right, and we're back here. We're back here with Brains Through Wrestling. It is I, Punchy, with Hammy and guest Kevin Garifo of the Shining Wizards podcast.
Yes, sir.
Really fun so far. You can follow Shining Wizards at
Wizards Podcast.
There you go.
On Twitter, and myself at Kevin Garifo. That's G-A-R-I-F-O, because it's ridiculously Italian.
Yeah, it's extremely Italian.
It's not.
I didn't notice that at
too,
all.
So,
yeah. I didn't notice that at all.
It's bad.
All right, guys. Raw recap, probably my favorite portion of the show, because we get to talk about how awesome Monday Night Raw has been for the third week in a row.
Oddly enough, there's no sarcasm there.
Yeah, for once, there's no sarcasm. We're talking about good Monday Night Raw. Regardless of whether Vince McMahon has been waking up backstage or Shane McMahon has had some legit influence on the course of the show,
My theory is that Triple H is locking Vince in the closet.
You would think that, but I think this is actually Vince for some reason. I think this is him.
I feel like he's gonna pull the carpet out from under us.
I mean, regardless, Monday Night Raw has been fantastic the past 3 weeks. And usually it's the Raws leading up to Mania and the Raw after Mania that are always consistently good, at least with WWE these days. But man, the past 2 weeks have been, I've watched every second of Monday Night Raw. Usually I just fast forward through a lot of the things. I end up watching maybe a total of 1 hour of programming. But man, Monday Night Raw has been great. What are your guys' thoughts on what may have been happening backstage?
I think they're finally not like listening to us just for the WrestleMania build, and they're just like, hey, let's give new guys a chance and let's like make stories that make sense and not just make like not just put all the time into the main event feud, but as many as possible. Like, I'm excited for so many possibilities of the next pay-per-view. Payback, like, for example, Styles versus Reigns is a storyline that's getting interesting, especially now. Also the tag team tournament finals. But what else? Cesaro versus The Miz for the IC titles, a good one for me.
Yep, me too.
Owens versus Zayn on a pay-per-view.
Well, you know what's so great about something that people have been complaining about Raw for so long is that there's matches with no story. There's nothing this, there's nothing that. And now everyone that you care about has something to do.
Yep.
They have something to do. And it continues from week to week, which is something that has been lacking for a long time.
And they seem to be giving a shit about both the deep women's division and the tag team division at the same time.
Right. Which, I mean, listen, it's like WWE has a track record of always letting us down, so I'll never completely have 100% confidence in it. But right now, it's been good. The last 2 weeks, I have a memory of a goldfish, so I remember three weeks ago.
Being a WWE fan, Kevin, I think is the closest I can relate to you about being a Jets fan.
Oh, see, why'd you have to bring? I mean, you had to bring that up.
It's a good comparison. That's why.
I know. I gotcha. But now you're just making me think about sports and how much my teams are not great right now. So
yeah, again, I can write.
But. Yeah, I know. Fair enough.
I think the only thing you have on me with NFL wise is your 49ers beat my Packers badly a few years in those NFC playoffs. But you mentioned the women's and tag division. I think going back to WrestleMania, one of my favorite things about WrestleMania was the fact that they're bringing back the women's championship and no longer that tramp stamp belt. They have the proper women's title.
You know what's funny? I've never heard that referred to as
me and him have always been calling
that's
it the
amazing.
Tramp stamp belt.
That's brilliant.
The mistake an 18-year-old co-ed mate puts on their lower back. That's what the Divas title looks like.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
Kevin's probably seen the Divas title design on the lower back of a lot of customers where he works.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, well, all right.
And one or two groups like, I really love your stand-up.
They're not...
Yeah.
sometimes they're like sons. Sometimes they have like the Batista belly button tattoo on their back.
Yeah, Batista did a tramp stamp wrong. He put it in his belly button. Yeah.
Reverse tramp stamp on Batista. But you mentioned the tag team division, and can I just say how entertaining that this number one contender tournament has been for the New Day's title?
Especially
great.
First off, it's a good way to showcase some of the new NXT tag teams that they were recently called up, like the Vaudevillains and Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we have a lot of clips to play for you guys this segment. So right here is the Vaudevillains defeating the Usos from this Monday Night Raw.
Gotcha's got a real opportunity here.
I know what's coming here,
especially if they can do this here. They call this the Whirling Dervish.
I love that they named the Whirling Dervish.
They sure did.
The Vaudevillains have advanced to the finals of the tournament.
Called up to the main roster not even a week ago, and they're defeating one of the
staples of the tag division.
Yeah, they.
Well, let's just give credit to Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows in that one for beating them up so severely last week.
Ah, the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Those boys.
And them in the tag division. I think they're the ones who are going to beat the New Day for the titles eventually when they are officially heel.
I'm very interested to see what actually develops with them.
There's three scenarios that I think are going to play. One of three are going to play out.
I'm all ears.
Either they help Styles win the title at Payback.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, you know.
No. I didn't mean to be like that sounded like a total dick fucking thing to say. I'm so sorry. But it's definitely something that...
It's feasible.
Of course. Yes. Agreed.
Because the setup they're doing looks a lot like, hey, he's going to deny that they're helping him, and then they're going to help him.
Yeah.
Or it'll be to facilitate a Reigns heel turn, or to facilitate calling Balor up.
All three are choices that I would welcome.
Yeah.
I think the one I would welcome the most of any of them is heel Reigns, because this whole I'm not a good guy, I'm the guy.
He's going to turn heel. But no, I like the first one better because it means AJ Styles becomes WWE champ.
Oh, I like that too.
And then we get the crying Dixie Carter meme. Or someone like,
but it's like actually Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might put Michael Jordan on there.
Anytime any team loses, their faces are replaced with the crying Jordan face. Oh, shit.
So the tag division, though, back to, because we mentioned Carl Anderson,
right.
I think they're going to definitely win those tag titles soon. I think they're debuting against the Usos on Monday, like their first actual
match.
Made
a statement.
I didn't read the spoilers, but I do believe they are going to be on SmackDown wrestling. Did you read the spoilers?
No, it's Raw. They're gonna face the Usos.
Oh, okay. All right, never mind. Yeah. Then I stand corrected.
You mentioned End Zone Cast. They made their in-ring debut on at least their Monday Night Raw in-ring debut.
That's right, because
this past Monday,
their first round match was SmackDown.
And they defeated the Dudley Boys. Here is a finish to that match.
Little miscommunication by the Dudleys. You don't see that.
Size 16.
And that tweet.
This actually helps me a lot. I'm usually so drunk watching Raw that I don't remember any of it. So this actually helps.
Rocket launcher. Cover on Bubba Ray.
So I just want to say, first and foremost, how happy I am to watch the Dudley Boys do the right thing and help put over younger talent.
Well, that's why they're there.
This is one of the best things that I think these two, that meaning the Dudley Boys, have ever done in their career. They're smart. They get the business. They know that their time is coming. So help put over younger talent. And what better way to help a debuting, very white-hot End Zone Cast than by putting them with the Dudley Boys?
Yep.
Yeah. No argument for me.
And to have them feud with the Dudley Boys, because they're the one tag team aside from the New Day. Well, they're the one heel tag team that could go with them like mic work for mic work.
And D-Von especially is... Oh, you're talking about Enzo and Cass.
Enzo and Cass with the Dudleys.
With the Dudleys or with the New Day?
Well, they're kind of doing a little mini feud with the Dudleys for the tournament, how they debuted.
And I think D-Von Dudley is one of the most underrated mic workers that has ever been in the business.
Reverend D-Von run was underrated.
Right. I agree.
And now it's just mostly known for debuting Batista.
Well, hey, that's a feather in his cap.
Yep.
And a couple dollars in his collection plate.
So now the main feud, obviously, is Reigns.
The main feud going into Payback.
Reigns versus
the
hero of the internet, we'll call him.
The face of the IWC, basically.
Well, I mean, listen, AJ Styles has just been consistently amazing. And once he left TNA, he just went up another level with his work at IWGP.
The greatest thing that's ever happened to him was leaving TNA. And I believe he said on Sam Roberts' podcast, he said, "I shed no tears leaving TNA." Like, basically saying, I don't give a flying fuck about TNA anymore. I was happy to leave that dump.
You know what's funny is that TNA, they could have been better, but they spent too much money on guys who WWE let go that weren't really worth spending that much money on. And they spent that much money so they couldn't retain the guys who made TNA what it was.
So here we go. Here is the segment. Here's Roman Reigns' segment from Monday Night Raw. And I guess I'll just play the majority of this clip because we could just commentate over how really bad Roman Reigns is.
If you haven't heard it before, I'll say it again. I'm not a good guy.
I'm not a bad guy.
Listen to us. An army of
boos. Just the guy.
This is a perfect heel promo if he was a heel.
Yeah.
Well, but the way that crowd is reacting, you would think he is.
I just hear
Jim.
If he was booked as a heel, I'm sorry.
I hear Jim Cornette's going, he's got seven moves, and one of them is the hair flip.
He's a tough guy. He's a world travel champion.
By the way, this crowd on Raw, I love UK European phenomenal crowds.
You know what's funny is in the 90s, he would have been a beloved face.
He would have been Kevin Nash.
Big Daddy Cool in the ring.
He should just start dressing like Diesel.
He pretty much does.
And hopefully tear his quads as many times as Kevin Nash.
Oh, God.
Here's the problem, though.
Payback, but that's not going to work because I am bringing...
Is he trying to do like a Southern affliction like Hillary Clinton does when she just goes to a Southern state to stump?
I don't know.
But leave Jason Momoa alone.
He's in England.
WWE, what I'm saying is he always carries a bottle of hot sauce with him.
Hillary Clinton's in the ring?
I gotta give it to you.
See, that was not a bad promo to me.
I think you're one heck of a champion.
AJ Styles desperate. Oh, man. The boots that followed
you're explosive. You're aggressive. And I
His mic work's been better, gotten better, too.
To beat you, I'm gonna have to have the match of my life.
I admit that.
But having the match of my life is what I do.
Good line.
That's what I do. And that's why they like you.
It was Mark Henry.
Yep.
London, do you like AJ? The whole world likes you. Hell.
Because he
the whole world doesn't like you, Reigns.
I get what you're doing here. But you want to know what they're not going to like? When I beat you at Payback.
Ooh. Ooh.
Epic burn.
But they will respect me. And that's...
No, they won't.
That's the only thing that matters.
The crap.
I would much rather be respected with this than to be liked without it.
I'd rather be liked and respected because that's going to make me a phenomenal WWE champion.
Oh, see,
champion.
Phenomenal. See, that's his catchphrase.
He's doing better with scripted promos than a lot of the roster. All right, well, now let's get to the best part of the segment.
We are 2 weeks away.
You can feel it.
I'm so glad all three of these guys signed. By the way, like him, Gallows, and Anderson.
It's one of the best I've seen in years. I don't think AJ would have ever expected this.
This is where they're sneaking in. You can tell because the crowd started popping.
From Gallows and Anderson.
Oh, it's so awesome that Gallows, you know, got a second run.
Hey, Vince, do you know that one of the loudest cheers of your show this past Monday was when your champion was getting mercilessly cheered for getting beat up?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Part of me almost kind of feels bad for Roman Reigns.
I'm excited to see them in a ring next
because
week.
Because think about it. If Vince McMahon told you, I'm going to make you champion, you're going to be the face of my company, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't turn it down? No.
Of course you wouldn't.
No.
But the fans all don't agree with that.
And it's funny because like we boo and hate on Reigns. And I will admit, it's not his fault. Because what's he going to say? Tell Vince, no, you know, I don't think I'm ready for it.
Dude.
And that'll just make Vince blackball him from ever pushing him in that position.
Roman Reigns is a star. He is a number one top tier talent, and he is a star if the company puts him and presents him the right way.
Yep.
He is, like I said, like that promo was a perfect heel promo if you were booked as a heel. He is so... Like,
yeah, they book him as like a John Cena-esque babyface, and then they give him like a heel promo.
And don't get me wrong, I think Ambrose should have been the guy that should have walked out of WrestleMania with the belt, even though he wasn't even in the match. It's just, Roman Reigns has it. He's just not the guy right now. And they have to realize that. And again, who the fuck am I? I don't know what the hell I'm talking. Like, I'm just a guy that does a wrestling podcast who has a little bit of experience in the business. But Roman Reigns is a top-tier talent and a star, but just not yet and not this way.
Turn him heel to develop his personality, and then he'll be...
Yeah.
I think and not even against Styles it should be the way. They shouldn't do it against Styles. They should have him turn on Dean Ambrose.
Well,
that will be the way to actually make it that they're going full bore with him turning heel.
We talked about what we thought what was the most likely scenario is that Bullet Club, Anderson, and Gallows will cost AJ Styles the match. But then that will align Roman Reigns with AJ Styles to try to get Roman over as a babyface because everyone loves AJ. Yeah. So it'll be Roman Reigns and AJ doing a feud with the Bullet Club for a little bit. You know what I mean? So
I'm thinking they might even just, again, more likely they might just facilitate Balor coming up. But yeah,
I didn't call it. This was actually Shining Wizards Eddie's, but we all had the same like consensus that that's what was going to happen. But again, I don't know what's going to happen with Balor, to be honest with you. I really don't.
It's funny. Vince wants to call him up badly. But Triple H kind of like, give him a little more time.
It's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the face of that brand. So yep.
They need to develop another face or call up Samoa Joe.
I think Samoa Joe at least deserves one big main event title run, at least with WWE.
Yeah.
The guy's paid his dues for all those years in Reign of Honor and wrestling around the world. Samoa Joe at least deserves one title run. Or at least in a heavyweight title feud. At least be put on the main event of a WWE pay-per-view. He deserves it.
But yeah, and now as far as AJ and Roman Reigns, though, like I said, Roman Reigns shows, like... And the thing, too, I think people were cheering Reigns. Like, I think they started this push after that Royal Rumble where Reigns was getting huge cheers from the crowd when he was in the final two. But I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that the other guy was Batista.
And he came back at a really bad time as well.
Yeah. So, like, the fact that he was in the last one against Batista, no matter who's in there, they're going to get cheered.
And Daniel Bryan, if I'm not
mistaken,
he was not in it.
Nope, not at all.
He was. Oh yeah, he came back in the one when Raymond. No, yeah, he was.
No, it wasn't because he faced Bray Wyatt. Bray did the Sister Abigail onto the guardrail, and then that everyone thought 30 would be Bryan, but it was Rey Mysterio, and he got booed.
Oh, okay. Then this was a Royal Rumble either before or after when he got eliminated. When
early.
Yeah,
that was the one after year after.
Okay, the year after. All right.
So after that, Roman Reigns jumping that Gallows and Anderson gave him. This is what happened backstage with Reigns and AJ Styles. You can hear the crowd just love Roman Reigns.
Yeah, they're huge fans.
Roman, he's top. You were obviously caught off guard after that attack by Gallows and Anderson.
Whoa, hey. I had no idea that was going to happen. I swear to God, dude, I had no idea.
You expect me to believe that?
I'm telling you the truth, man to man. That's why I came up to you. I had no idea that was...
The truth. I know your history.
Chicken tenders, biscuits and gravy.
So last week they attacked my cousins. This week they attacked me. And you don't have anything to do with this. You better start telling the truth or start selling a new story.
Listen, the story is, yes, we're boys. I've known him for a while. Carl Anderson, yeah, yes. We've been friends. But the truth is, I had no idea they were coming. I don't need my
accent.
Friends to beat you for your title.
Oh, shit.
Bring all your friends. It won't matter.
It's one against all. One versus all. Because I'm the Roman Empire.
I think what annoys me the most about that is the fact that Roman Empire was the easy way to go because of his name, but it's so obvious and so cheesy at the same time. And not to mention, two things WWE can do with Reigns right now. Change his fucking entrance theme instead of that Shield sounding name.
That's the way you can tell, by the way, that they were like trying so hard to keep Reigns like over as a babyface. Like, he pretty much got the Shield out uniform and the entrance theme when they went all singles.
Give him a new design entrance attire. Just repackage his look. Give him a new entrance theme. And turn him heel.
They pretty much made Ambrose and Rollins have to get their own personalities on their own.
So before we head to break, and because I need to piss very badly, what were your thoughts on this last episode of Monday Night Raw? Third episode in a row, it's been a it's been a B+ show to me.
It's been much better, and I hope this continues. Like, I'm looking forward to what's going to happen next week, especially with the tag title finale. No, wait, that's on the payback. But like the debut of Gallows and Anderson next week. And like how they're going to, like, they'll probably have them do something that's going to make like AJ Styles in cahoots with them. And then him deny it again, like run that angle.
Well, that's what was put in place yesterday or Monday.
No, I think they're going to continue that. And they'll do something else or like, make it seem like. But yeah, like there's interesting storylines up and down the card now. Which they should have been doing this for years, and it would have made it a lot more watchable, and the ratings wouldn't have been in the tank for a while.
We talked about the card for Payback is more intriguing to me right now than
WrestleMania.
Yeah, than WrestleMania. Exactly. You have Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. You have The Miz, Cesaro. You have Roman Reigns, AJ Styles. You have
the tag tournament finals,
which is four guys, two new teams. And I think there's a
Jericho versus Ambrose.
Jericho versus Ambrose, and the women's title match, which I'm not sure exactly what it is. I think it's with Charlotte.
Natalya and Charlotte.
Natalya. Oh, and Bret Hart's going to be in the corner of Natalya and Ric Flair. So that's so far this is going to be a very fun show, I think.
Yeah.
Matches so far for Payback: 6 matches already set up. Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles for the championship. Miz versus Cesaro. Ambrose versus Jericho. Zayn versus Owens, which that's going to be match of the night. Charlotte versus Natalya, and Enzo and Cass versus the Vaudevillains.
There's a certain level of pride seeing Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens on a WWE pay-per-view.
Any match there could be a match of the night.
And it was supposed to have the Wyatts versus the League of Nations, but Bray got injured.
And the Wyatt family is the face of the Payback poster.
And half of them are hurt.
Buy our show. We won't be there.
Hey, it's better than like...
Shh. We're not here.
It's better than when they had when they would have like mid-card jobbers on the posters for the pay-per-views and they're not even in a match. Like R-Truth.
Love me some Truth.
Oh, no. So do I, but...
He was on the Fastlane poster, but it was actually Hell in a Cell.
Yep.
That's a play on his gimmick.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, thanks.
Punchy. My bad.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a little bit of bonus time here. We are joined in studio by Kevin Garifo. Very funny appearance on the show tonight. Shining Wizards ShiningWizards.com. You can follow him on Twitter. Follow myself, Punchy, on Twitter, at Brainstorm Radio. We will be right back right after these messages. Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brain Stew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brain Stew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brain Stew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to BrainStewMedia.com today. Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. The best radio on the internet is only one click away at MoreLikeRadio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out MoreLikeRadio.com and subscribe on iTunes. Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR.
Talking about all things professional wrestling, it's Brain Stew Wrestling.
Welcome back to Brain Stew Wrestling. It is Punchy. I'm kind of jealous that there's not enough space to do skanking to this theme. This
For
is
real.
The perfect Scott theme.
For real.
Well, I might be moving this room into a bigger room in the house, so we might have a bigger studio coming up.
Sami Zayn's theme.
So we can dance along to this, which... CFO... I that's the name of the composer?
Yeah, CFOS.
CFOS, sorry. CFOS, composing...
It's a group of people. It's a group.
Okay.
But yeah, they make... What I like about these guys versus Jim Johnson is they make the theme to match the personality of the wrestler. Like, Sami Zayn is just a happy-go-lucky ska kid on screen and in life. So they made this theme up. Kevin Owens is a badass brawler on screen, even though he's a really super nice guy. But, like, you know, his theme fits that character.
Not to throw my girlfriend under the bus, but she's just starting to get into wrestling, and I'm showing her a few matches. I showed her Sami Zayn versus Nakamura from NXT TakeOver Dallas, and she said, that's by far my favorite match you showed me. She loves Nakamura. But she said, oh, and I'm going to try to quote her verbatim here. She basically said, oh, God, Sami Zayn's a ska guy? What a douche. I hate him.
Whoa.
Hey.
Not to throw my girlfriend under the bus. But
14-year-old me hates that.
She's not a fan of the ska bands.
I'm judging Tess, but.
Sorry. She was not a fan of Sami Zayn. But we're going to bonus time here, guys.
And we always go into bonus time.
Officially, we're on from 10 to 11, but we always go give you guys
by the
bonus
way,
time.
I do,
you're welcome.
I do like the assessment that Sami Zayn has officially taken over the Daniel Bryan role.
Oh, that the happy loser, the happy to be there guy busting his ass.
Happy
the happy
no,
loser.
One of those, the lovable losers, I think what KP said a couple weeks ago.
He's
the guy that the crowd's going to start getting behind as time goes on, to the point where they have to push him in that spot.
You guys are sports guys, right? Do you know Peter Rosenberg, who's also High 97, is on the Michael Kay show.
Yeah.
And he also has his podcast, GP Podcast. He had Jonathan Coachman on. The Sami Zayn character is so good but there's something missing. There's no element of why should I take this guy like seriously yet for him on the main roster, which, and like you said, he's the lovable loser, the happy-go-lucky ska guy, and that kind of makes you feel like on the main roster, he might not be able to win like the big-time matches, which is kind of what's...
I think what they should do to really like develop him more is give him just an extended feud with Kevin Owens.
Which is, yes,
have
I agree.
Go through SummerSlam. Yep.
I hope this is the beginning of a very long feud between Zayn and Owens. Not to mention, we know the matches will be amazing.
Yeah.
And we know the program between the two will be amazing to watch.
It's a personal story. They always have intense matches. The Ladder Wars from Final Battle 2010.
Right.
Just... fantastic.
So the first I saw this video on WWE's YouTube channel, which, by the way, if you haven't subscribed to WWE on YouTube yet, you should, because not only did they put clips of all their shows up there, they put bonus content, they do top lists or whatever, and they put promos of upcoming events. Like one time, randomly, just out of nowhere, they did the vintage original SmackDown intro with today's new superstars, and they basically remade the old SmackDown intro. They randomly do this. The video production quality is outstanding for WWE, but I saw this on their YouTube channel, and I'm just going to play it cold here so you guys can see what I'm talking about and see if you find it as weird as I did. For those of you listening on audio only, it's a picture of ladybugs with the caption, "Spring is here," and now they're starting to hump, and the caption says, "And everyone wants some action." But there is no better action than... and it cuts to a WWE montage.
WWE Extreme Rules!
Alright, the second half of the commercial is what you expect, but... The opening.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna pause it here because there's ladybugs
doing
mating
it
on a leaf, and with the caption, "And everybody wants some action." So this leads me to this question: has WWE kind of sort of found its attitude again? Because you never would have seen this even a year ago, but in 1996, this would have been all over the place. This would have been every day.
I think even more importantly, this means Linda's not running for her election again.
I think that's the biggest thank you we can get from Linda McMahon.
This was actually a WWE.
Yes,
this their spot. Even the ladybug part.
Absolutely, I downloaded it straight from WWE's YouTube channel. It's right on their channel. They upload like 20 videos a day, so if you want, you're probably gonna have to scroll through it to find it. But yeah, this is a legit commercial for Extreme Rules.
Well, I'll tell you what, those ladybugs were spot on.
Yeah, they were no botches.
Oh, come on.
No, I know.
That's a terrible pun.
I know. The thing is, I know what you did. I just feel disgusted. Like, I feel like...
it was so terrible.
I feel like watching... I feel like how I watch Roman Reigns promos.
Well, it's fair, because I wanted to bring what I do... what I do on The Shining Wizard.
He's not
make
a good
terrible,
guy. He's not a bad guy. He's the guy.
I wanted to bring what I do on the Shining Wizards podcast with the terrible, terrible jokes, and I wanted to bring them here for you guys.
Well,
so you can enjoy them.
The best in the world at what you do.
I do.
Kevin's puns are like when a cat kills something and puts it on the doorstep, because that was a gift.
Yeah. Goddamn right. But no, it's crazy. But they have been kind of to your point with the attitude, like you know, Vince McMahon dropping the F-bomb on the thing and bleeping out stuff and stuff like that. If you thought that was the case for a little bit, but we'll see where it goes. I don't think it's really going to be that way. But
I think they'll just kind of make it like Shane's behind it, and then when they pull the rug out from under him and they change back to what they usually do, like that'll be their explanation.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the final bonus clip that I have today, our favorite divas of all time, Nikki and Brie Bella. Well, here we go.
"We don't know if you'll ever get back in the ring, which means the Bella Twins will probably never get back in the ring."
"I'm not ready to shut that door yet."
"I am grateful."
"This is your guys' home.
Welcome.
Do you think we can really handle this?
Change your habits and respect ours."
"Why aren't you guys wearing shoes?"
"I don't think she's humble."
"No offense, I feel like there's so many damn rules. You're in our home."
"Stop your complaining."
"Thank you.
We're family, yes or no?"
"It's our own road to WrestleMania."
"Oh,
that's right. Laurinaitis is with their mom.
To fam.
To family.
Yeah, we're family, aren't we?
The return of people power. I love how we were just saying it at the same time. Nikki and Brie Bella coming back in to E this fall for Total Bellas, which basically is what Total Divas was in the beginning.
I do want to point out, by the way, John Laurinaitis sounds like me hosting for Conti a couple weeks ago.
Where's my skateboard? I'm a dynamic dude.
Is anybody on a date?
Who's
where do you work?
Who's married here?
Anybody else celebrating something?
Sounds like everyone else high.
Yeah, well,
sounds like every stoner high.
So that happens when you lose your voice.
Total Bellas come. Great name. That's totally original. Total Bellas coming this fall. It will be another E show that no one watches.
Yeah,
because people
that people who don't watch wrestling and just watch E reality shows all the time will watch.
Shout out to Shining Wizards Matt, who loves Total Divas.
Oh,
you know what?
He took our point and shoved it right in our
faces.
You
just now lost a subscriber.
Hey, it's not me. It's not me. It's him. He's the only one. Hey, he's the only one.
He's giving us puns, so resubscribe.
Yes.
You know what, though? Lana is joining Total Divas, and ooh, Paige is already there, so... all right, just maybe
Hemi's going to pat his stomach.
Gawk at the divas.
Hemi's going to pat his stomach and say, Devon, get the Kleenex.
Well played, sir.
That's good. I wanted to... Every week we have a final thought, kind of like Jerry Springer here, but today I want to do something a little fun here, and I want to just briefly discuss our favorite, the most addictive entrance themes. I know people have done this before, but what are your top three if you had to pick, or what are some of your most addictive theme songs you've ever heard from any wrestler? It could be past, present, from WWE, ECW, WCW, any federation.
You know what? I'll go each of the main decade eras. From the 80s, the most memorable thing has always either been like Piper or Ted DiBiase. So I'll just go with one of them for that. And then for like the 90s / Attitude Era, it's gotta be Austin.
You mentioned the Roddy Piper one. Yep. Yeah. Just because it was different.
Yeah.
And I would imagine a few smarky European fans would hum along to this song in the rain. Like they do to Fandango whenever he goes over there. Because even though Fandango was just a jobber on Raw, you saw people still, Fandangoing to his song. Yeah. I can see Roddy Piper.
And now for the Attitude Era, like I said, Austin. But then for the current era, there's like so many that I can think of. Maybe they're fresher in my mind.
That's what's probably what it is. And because there's actually they're actually songs. You know?
Yeah.
They're actually
he's going to play Austin for a second. But I can name at least five themes from the last five or six years. Like Punk's Cult of Personality theme. But I'm not going to count that because it's a... Might not count because it's like an actual...
It's been a hit since like 1992.
Exactly. Yeah. But like Sami Zayn's theme, Kevin Owens' theme. What else? Samoa Joe's theme.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Sami Zayn. Ever since last week when we actually came from break or exited the show with Sami Zayn's theme, it's been stuck in my head throughout the whole... Ever since we played the song, it's without a doubt... I would even put up there is on my list. If I'm making a serious top five list, Sami Zayn's theme is right up there. Is what the most addictive I've ever heard.
It's a good tune.
It's so catchy. But again, most is most ska songs.
Right,
Kevin. Do you have any off the top of your head that you can imagine?
Off the top of my head, obviously the first one is NWO, original NWO, which is one that I...
Yeah, you know what, that one.
That's like so
great. I was
great.
Sticking a little too much to WWE with mine, but
and come on, like. Like, you just feel so cool when you... Like, tell me that not one of you have, like, ever, like, just walked... Like, played this and just, like, kind of, like, walked in, like, your room and just kind of went, like, the Scott Hall, like, thing and just kind of just throwing up the wolf pack.
It's very funny you mentioned this.
I like the book and brought that back.
Mike, remember the time where we did like sort of a hostile takeover of another internet radio station?
Yes, we did.
We may or may not have learned the password to log onto their stream, so we kind of hijacked their theme and opened up with the NWO theme. Just because, you know,
it's so good.
NWO theme definitely right up there at the most addictive theme songs.
And if we're going with like ECW as well, I mean, they used all
copyrighted
music. Like
right now, I'm such a mark. Look at me.
They use all copyrighted themes, but like Rob Van Dam's ECW theme, which is Pantera Walk, is like the most addictive one there.
Yeah, it's a good one. And how could you not mark out for Sandman's, like, Enter Sandman. But let me cut you off. I'll do my last two. These are two guys that I'm like the biggest like marks of as of now on the current roster. Is I love the Miz's music. I love it. And I love Zack Ryder. So
I feel like if, for payback, Kevin Grifo and I are gonna go on a Twitter war.
I came to play.
I was still doing Wolfpack to Miz, by the way. Just throw it out there.
Although hey, there's a better theme of the next Intercontinental Champion out there.
Okay. You gotta give me a second to cue it up.
I totally forgot who's in the feud. Oh, I know.
Although he'll play the new theme, but then I have some that I don't know if you noticed this when he. But yeah, I know. New X Intercontinental Champion looks like Jason Statham.
Dude, when I'm at work and I yawn, I automatically I do that.
Yeah,
like I'm yawning. I'm like, oh wait.
Although, did you know, like, his older WWE theme is actually just a redo of Dean Malenko's WWE theme? Watch. All right, play. All right, Hammy. So, the one is called Miracle for Cesaro, and then Iceman for...
That was like the Radical music, right?
No.
No, the next one.
I know. Here you go.
Just pay attention to the background music, and then... They just put Swiss hip hop lyrics over the.
This wasn't Malenko's music in WWE.
No, wait, it's coming.
Oh. Oh, that's what he was doing. His Bond gimmick. All right.
Which, by the way, speaking of Bond, Cesaro coming out with the 007
barrel. Yeah.
This is what they should have done with Malenko when he broke away from the Radicals. I swear to God, he should have had like the tearaway suit with the and wrestled in like the bow tie with like the cufflinks. That should have been it. I'm sorry, I just ranted. I'm sorry. Extra time.
for Malenko, it was James Bond. For the Cesaro, the look is like the transporter.
Yeah.
For me, one of mine, hands down, and probably my favorite entrance theme of all time. Yeah. Triple H, when he came, like, late 99, 2000, around that time, he came out with a song called My Time, which was done by the DX band. I don't even know the name of the real band.
This was his first heel music, and then China actually used this for a little while.
And so did Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, that same band did a lot of themes for, I think they did the Vince McMahon No Chance in Hell theme, too. And the DX
theme. Not gonna lie, when I backyard wrestled, I came out to this song.
You backyard wrestled?
Of course I did. What wrestling fan growing up didn't backyard wrestle at one point?
Do you have YouTube videos?
I have a friend of mine that I do not talk to anymore has all the VHS tapes of the shows we did.
What was your company?
Can you repair that bridge so we can get this magic?
What was the name of the
We were called the EWF, the Extreme Wrestling Federation.
That was before it was X instead of E.
And the stable I was in were called the Four Aces. Totally not ripping off the Four Horsemen
like
at all.
The Four Asses.
Yes. And so each of us had four a nickname. Aces. Each of us had the nickname as
Club
in the
Diamonds.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. There actually was a Four Aces. Not in any, but independently, there was a Four Aces.
I did not know that.
But you guys were first.
But I was the.
What was your hands? What was your gang sign?
I didn't have a gang sign, but my ring name was Mike Diamond. That was my.
He was the Ace of Diamonds, is what he said.
I picked up on that.
Yeah, you see, he got the gimmick, and we were.
So what were the other names?
I don't even remember at this point.
Johnny Hart,
Club that? Soda.
Kenny,
Ace Spade,
Ace African American. So we had the four aces. We came out and we're basically just NWO wannabes. That's all we were.
That's awesome.
It just came out randomly, just beat up everybody.
NWO wannabes with the Four Horsemen wannabe name.
Four horses' asses.
I'm so glad videos of my doing that are nowhere to be found.
What, you did the backyard stuff?
It didn't last that long because... All right, before we go, fun story. I was in one of those. We had a whole setup in like the woods because that's all that was in my area.
We built a ring out of used car tires and mattresses and all that.
We did about two shows, and then the third one that was being filmed ended when two guys came into the woods and mistook us for people who were shooting BBs at them. So that ended it pretty quickly.
That would happen to you, Falcone. Punchy, I'm sorry.
Hey,
am I using your shoot name? Is that not cool?
It's all good. You can, whichever. Funny thing is, I was the only one they didn't think did it, but they thought I knew. No, these are the guys you want. That was my first heel turn.
Oh, look at that. Good for you.
So
the best was, though, I was a minor, so they had to bring me to my parent, and my mom was working at a diner. And when the cops told her what happened, she's like, just bring him home.
Yeah, basically when I backyard wrestled, we basically mimicked every single WWE storyline you could possibly imagine, and not good at all. not good. But we had, there were some fun moments. We made our titles from cardboard and paper. We drew the symbols on them. We actually took trophies of ours that we wanted by playing like Little League or bowling or whatever, and we turn them into actual trophies for our wrestling league, like, and we videotaped them all, and we basically just mimicked everything WWE was doing, like the wedding between Undertaker and Stephanie McMahon. We basically did that the day after that episode happened, and you could just imagine how douche chilling that must have been. But on that note, I want to say that this theme right here is definitely one of the best ones that WWE has right now, just because it sounds like Godzilla, and this is what we're going to exit the show with. I want to thank Kevin Garifo for joining us tonight. Kevin, final plugs for your Twitter and your show.
Oh, man. First of all, thank you guys very much. Thank you, Punchy. Thank you, Ham. It's at Shining Wizards, Eddie, Tony, Matt, and Kevin. That's me, obviously. That's us. At Kevin Garifo. Check out the company that we're affiliated with, WrestlePro.com, WrestlePROonline.com. Check them out. Great company that runs out of Rawway. That's it. Thank you guys very much. This was so much fun. I went by too fast.
Sir. He is at Hipster Punchy on Twitter. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. And we are at Brainstew Radio on Twitter. Follow us. Check out for updates and big news coming soon regarding our website and future projects we're going to do. Stay tuned for that. Again, thank you, Kevin Garifo, for joining us. We will see you next week, next Wednesday night at 10 o'clock right here on BrainstewRadio.com. Podcast will be posted shortly. Thanks for watching, everybody. Have a good night.